Relationships are ministry opportunities. Beware when you want to block them. I received a text message from a very close relative. This relative can be very messy, not just with me, but with other close relatives as well. In this text, they were ranting and raving. No potty mouth, but there were inaccurate information, accusations, foolishness, twisted events, and things that simply were not true. This was the first time I had ever experienced this extreme level of nonsense and foolishness from this person. God knows I was taken back by it, but not nearly as much as I would have been a few years earlier. I wasn't speechless, but I knew if I replied in that moment, it probably wouldn't land very well. So I waited. A day or two later, during my morning devotion, I found myself reflecting on Jesus and the time of his arrest prior to his crucifixion. I thought about how Jesus said he could call on legions of angels to save him, yet he also understood that this was the very reason he had come. Therefore, he remained surrendered to the will of the Father. And as I sat there thinking about this, my mind went back to this very close relative. I could sense the Holy Spirit's prompting, leading me to respond to his truth rather than be ensnared by my emotions or consumed by this text incident. You see, not too long before this messy text incident, my husband told me that this person had said they were going to call me. My husband's reply was, "Yeah, right, if she answers the phone." They replied, "No matter what we've gone through, there's never been a time when she didn't answer the phone when I called, and I'm going to call her now." Ironically, when this person called me, before they shared why they were calling, they repeated what they had told my husband about the confidence they had that I would answer the phone no matter what we had gone through. I agreed and jokingly said, "Too bad I can't get the same results every time I call you." They replied jokingly, "Now this is not why I called." And we both smiled and finished our conversation. When I heard those words, even though they were true and I had lived by them, they still touched me in a way I never expected. They stayed with me. Then one morning during my devotion, I brought my thoughts about blocking this person before the Lord. As I confessed my frustration, my heart cried out, "But if I block them, one day when they try to call me, I won't be able to answer." As I closed out my devotion, I felt that should be my response to their foolish text. So this is what I sent. I said, "Your nonsense and foolish talking makes me want to block you. But I know if I block you, when you try to call me one day, I won't be able to answer your call. Love never fails." That experience led me to a much bigger question. How many relationships have we closed because of offense? How many people have we removed from our lives because they hurt us? How many opportunities for redemption and reconciliation have we lost because offense made the decision? Now, I don't want to get this twisted by any means. This is not about becoming someone's punching bag. This is not enabling sin or becoming codependent. This is not about ignoring wisdom. Healthy boundaries matter, but creating distance should never be for the purpose of punishment. Many times we stop at boundaries and never arrive at unconditional love. The culture often asks, "How do I protect myself?" But the gospel asks, "How do I love as Christ loved me?" Those are two different questions. The question is not, did I create a boundary? The question is, does my heart still reflect Christ after I've made my decision? Because it's possible to create distance while remaining Christ-centered and open to reconciliation. Because that's what we are called to be, reconciled to others. And it's also possible to create distance while becoming offended, hardened, and self-protected. Because that's the world's way of doing it. It's all about me. I become the central focus, not Christ, nor the will of the Father. You see, one leads to freedom, and the other leads to bondage. Yes, we must tell the truth, but with humility. Not carrying the truth as our personal opinion or using it as a weapon. Truth carried in humility reveals Christ. Love never fails because its goal is not self-protecting or self-seeking, but reconciliation. For me, this was never really about a text message. It was about the condition of my heart. Would I allow offense to make the decision, or will I remain surrendered to Christ? The cross reminds us that reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel. Christ reconciled us to the Father, and he calls us to carry that same ministry into our relationships. Not perfectly, not without wisdom, not without boundaries, but with humility, truth, and love. So let's remember that relationships are ministry opportunities for God to show forth his glory in the way we live our lives by the power of his love.